Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase.
There's a lot to say when buying a new home or car, but only one thing to say that can help you protect them. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. And just like that, a State Farm agent will be there to help you choose the coverage you need, no matter where you are in life. When you need coverage options, your State Farm agent is there to help, on the phone or in person. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 400. It's our 400th episode, and a lot of people are like, you should do like a clip episode or a whole episode of Senior Abuelito from the first Nerdist podcast. 400 is a nice round number, but I think that's like a 500 episode thing. I like anniversaries and like the fives. So, maybe we'll do that for our fourth anniversary next year, or maybe episode number 500. But this is a super fun episode. Before we get into it, though, I would like to say that I will be telling stand-up comedy jokes at Cobb's in San Francisco September 11th, 12th, 13th, and 14th. Cobb's is a big room. Please come and fill it with your bodies. Was that too needy? I mean, whatever. Don't show up. I don't care. Oh my god, I hope they didn't see how much I actually care, but I just wanted to pretend like I didn't. If you go to nerdist.com/calendar, you can get information on that. Also, thanks to Sam Jackson and Bob Odenkirk for guesting on Talking Bad tonight. Next week, it'll be RJ Mitty, who plays Walt Jr., and Betsy Brandt, who plays Marie. So tune in on AMC. It's 11 p.m., an hour after Breaking Bad. This episode is brought to you by Stamps.com. Hey guys, avoid time-consuming trips to the post office. Do you hate time to the extent where you're like, I just want to waste as much of it as possible? Well, then in that case, then you probably would want to stand in the post office. But if you don't want to stand in the post office because you feel like time is precious and you could be spending it doing other things, like talking to loved ones or looking up different varieties of squirrels on Wikipedia, which I actually did one day, then for crap's sake, use Stamps.com. It is easy. You're going to get official U.S. postage using your own computer and printer 24/7. It's open all the time. Never closes. The internet, that's the one good thing about it. Never closes. There's some other good things. I'll figure them out later. But do all your mailing and shipping when it's convenient for you. Print out the exact postage you need, including priority mail, first-class mail, international mail, all for a fraction of the cost of one of those ridiculous postage meters. With Stamps.com, you save time and money. This is our special offer that we've been having for Nerdist Podcast listeners. No risk trial, $110 bonus offer, including a digital scale, up to $55 of free postage. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com before you do anything else. Click the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Nerdist. That's Stamps.com. Enter the promo code Nerdist. This episode is Maria Menounos, who you may know. She does some wrestling. She co-hosts Extra. And she also has a movie coming out called The Adventures of Serial Buddies, which is at serialbuddies.com. That is serial as in serial killer, S-E-R-I-A-L. Buddies as in us, your buddies. And Maria is just a super cool Boston chick. That's not the good. I didn't do the accent right. I should just leave that to Myra. But anyway, she's super cool, and she happens to be dating... actually, dating is not a strong enough term. A long-term relationship with my friend Kevin, who was a writer on Singled Out. So it was really awesome when he showed up, and then we all got to hang out. And then Matt, of course, helped us all talk about Boston things. So this was fun. This was recorded right before Comic-Con, and then we had a string of podcasts that were very time-sensitive. I had to go up, so now I can put this up for the 400th episode of the Nerdist Podcast with our pal, Maria Menounos.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Maria Menounos.
That's a weird way to pronounce it.
It just rolls off the tongue. Now.
Yes.
You say it.
Maria Menounos.
See, it's nice. Lady Eminem.
Yep.
I don't think we've ever met.
Yeah, we have.
Where did we meet?
I met you somewhere. I don't remember where it was, but I remember meeting you with Kevin a couple years ago.
Well, many years ago.
Okay, like a lot of years ago.
Where were we?
I don't remember where we were. But I remember meeting you because obviously Kevin's worked with you in the past and you guys had like a little like reconnection. Kevin, you were like, oh, dude, hey.
Kevin
was, as you know,
Kevin was head writer on MTV's Singled Out, which was a show that I apparently hosted. It's sort of a blur. It was in the 1900s. I would imagine everything was analog and operated by a series of knobs and steam and brass. But we did apparently and pneumatic tubes and that sort of thing. Jenny McCarthy is actually an automaton. Like, I don't think a lot of people realize that she operates on the steam from fart jokes.
Well, then a vaccine might actually kill her.
Okay. Well played. Well played. Maybe we did run into each other a couple of years ago.
It was a long time ago.
10 years ago. You were at ET, Fish Ladder.
Oh, right.
And it was about...
He remembers everything. He's my memory bank. I don't remember anything.
Holy shit.
Chris doesn't
but I do remember that for...
his name.
Yeah.
But since that time...
It's been a
really long time. So congratulations on everything.
Thank you.
So you're working on a bunch of different stuff at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So just start throwing some things out.
How big is Mario's Apple box that he must stand on?
Come on, Matt. What?
Mario Lopez. How many half apps?
No, I think it's a full. I believe it's a full. I used to work at the Grove. I remember seeing it all the time.
Mario's one of those guys. That, yeah, Matt was at the Apple Store.
I was.
Were you really?
Yeah.
Nice.
That's why you're getting a slight level of condescension about Mario. Uh-huh. That's what they train.
Did you have some bad instances
with Lopez?
Yeah.
No. That's just what they train you at the
delight.
Genius Bar.
Oh, really?
He's wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. They train you that a little bit.
No Apple box.
Mario Lopez is one of those guys that he was sort of the inside joke with my manager and I. Like, I would get really close on something for years and I'd be like, they're just going to offer it to Mario Lopez or Joe Rogan. Like, he was one of two guys that no matter how far in the host audition process you got, they were just going to offer it to Mario Lopez anyway.
Hilarious. Or Joe Rogan. It sounds like you just need abs.
Well, everything worked out fine now. But
well, now.
This was like, this was like 6-7 years ago. Is he as charming in person?
Yeah.
Lopez,
unfortunately.
Yeah, I know.
Seems like a nice guy.
He is. He's a great guy.
He just seems like a good guy. Is it weird to work at the Grove?
No, it's awesome.
Really? But
yes, because
so many...
I can go to the Mac store every day and they can fix
great.
My problems.
No, but there's so many people.
You mean
like,
the makeup store next to Nordstrom?
And, I don't know.
No, I like people though.
I like people, but I feel weird. I feel weird shooting in public. I always feel weird shooting in public.
Yesterday, I was on the street in San Diego with a Jedi robe and an R2 unit with two cameras pointed at me.
Did you feel
and
weird?
A tour bus pulled up and stopped, and everyone's waving.
Yeah, but in San Diego, that's kind of par for the course, right?
Yeah, I was like, in 3 weeks, guys, it's all going to be this.
I know what you're saying, though. Like, if I have to do a stand-up, like when I went to Boston after the bombings, and I had to do stand-ups in front of like this memorial. It was really awkward and it's so hard. Everyone's staring at you. But it's different when we have this massive base camp at the Grove. There's all of our crew.
Outdoor air.
We don't even know
situations.
Anyone's there. So we're speaking as if we are in a studio, which is really bad sometimes because I'm like, I have no filter. I'm going to say anything I'm thinking. And they're capturing it on their iPhones and they're going to be posting it.
That's fine, though.
Did Extra send you out to Copley? Was it an Extra thing you were doing?
No.
Well, thank God. I didn't want to know their take.
I'm from Boston.
Right.
I'm from Boston. So when it happened...
Me too.
I was coming out of the VO booth and my colleague was like, did you see this Boston bombing or Boston explosion? And I'm like, And so soon after we're seeing video pop up of this explosion and they're like, oh, maybe it's a gas leak. I'm like, guys, this is not a gas leak. And I'm like, I'm not an expert, but it's coming from underneath the stand and I'm telling you this is bad. And so I called up my boss. I'm like, I have to go home. I have to be there. And so she was like, of course. And so I went home and covered every aspect of it because I just had to be there. So.
Matt's a Boston guy.
Are you?
So.
Yeah, from Lowell.
Cool. From Lowell?
Yep.
I used to go to Lowell House of Pizza all the time.
Oh, yeah?
I'm from Medford, but a lot of
Greeks. I used to live in Medford.
A lot of
Greeks.
Right
off the Fellsway.
See?
Exit 33, guys.
Me too.
Well, why do you have such perfect diction?
We both said, fuck it. That sounds stupid.
No, I potty and I still have a wicked hot accent.
If I drink, it comes out.
If I'm drinking, if I'm tired, or if I'm home.
Mm.
The second I go home, it starts to come back.
You're still Maria from the block.
I'm still Maria from the block, yeah. But the second I went on camera in college, it went away.
Mm.
And then it was weird. And then the second I'd be off camera, I'd be like back to myself. And then I'd be on camera and I'd feel like I had to be professional. And then eventually it just kind of stuck.
That's interesting. I think that's sort of like how some British bands sound American when they sing. And you're like, you can't quite make out their accent.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they talk, they're like, all right, you pieces of shit. Hello, welcome to the, you know, like they just sound American. Like there's just something about the convention of hosting or singing or something that just, I don't know, it just sort of like streamlines it a little bit.
But maybe you thought,
where, please explain something to me. And you don't do this, but in entertainment, reporting,
I know where you're going.
I think.
Hello, everyone.
It's not even that. I blame early E, and I think I can trace it back to Jules Asner.
No, I love the Eels. They were great.
No, not E.
No.
But there's this cadence where it's like, tonight we're gonna be talking about this other thing, and then this guy, and it ends like this.
Derpa derpa.
That's Mary Hart. That's Patient Zero.
She was Patient Zero.
Yeah.
So they were all. She was sort of the headband player on that.
That was
Mary Hart.
Because you have to make it fun to be next to John Tesh.
I guess
he's made out of fun.
He is made out of fun.
Tickles the ivories.
That's
like
true.
No other.
NBA and NBC theme, still the best piece of music ever written.
We taught our poodle to like dance her head to the scene song. When I started at ET, I was so excited, and so we had this little poodle. She was quadriplegic, and Kevin taught her to like
you did
dance her head to the song.
That's so sweet.
Because we were so excited.
Really?
And I'll tell you something funny. When I got to ET, I remember thinking like, I don't want to do this the way everyone else has done it. And so I remember being there, and people, you know, producers trying to say it like Mary. And I said, no disrespect, you know, Mary Hart's the goddess of entertainment news. I'm like, but I'm different and I'm going to say it the way I say it. And they didn't like it at first, but I had, you know, a natural delivery. I wanted it to sound natural and normal and like the way I talk. And so things kind of changed after that.
You should have said, no offense, Mary Hart is the queen of entertainment, but I'm going to say it my way, like just to like drive the point.
Yeah, and I loved Mary. I still have dinners with her. She's amazing. But like even at that time, it was like you're wearing a suit and a skirt and your hair is chopped short. And I'm like, no, I want my hair long. I want to wear a short skirt. I want to be me. I want to be young and whatever. You hired a 22-year-old or you're going to get a 22-year-old. You're not going to get me wearing long skirts and acting like I'm 40.
What was the struggle like between college and getting that job? That 6-month period.
I know. No, I was really blessed.
Where'd you go? To Emerson? Did you get in the mafia?
I went to Emerson.
Emerson.
But
too.
It was actually Kevin, because I took the summer before my junior year in college, I went and worked on Kevin's movie. He went back to Boston from LA, saved his money from MTV.
Yep.
That big paycheck.
Which, that was not an easy thing to do, considering. No.
Yeah.
And cocaine
and so
was
he was
more
making his
then.
Movie, and my cousin was friends with him and said, you should work on this movie. And so I quit my job. I was a makeup artist at Chanel at the time, and quit my job and started working with Kevin on the movie. At the end, I realized I wanted to change my major and I wanted to study film. And so I added film to my thing. And
that movie was Celtic Pride. No.
One of the producers, wait, you knew him because he was on your show. But anyway, one of the producers on the movie went back to LA and was working at this place called Channel One News. And he goes, hey guys, they're looking for news anchors. And I'm like, no, I want to be behind the scenes. I just want to produce. I loved producing this movie. And he's like, Kevin goes, are you crazy? He's like, you're supposed to be in front of the camera, you idiot. He's like, so he put together a reel, and I didn't have any footage of my work from college, 'cause I just wasn't like thinking like that. And so he put together a reel, and thankfully I sent a current headshot, because I gained a lot of weight in college, and they were like, we thought you didn't want the job from the video. And so they sent me off for an interview. Kevin took me to Forever 21, got me my outfit, helped me figure out what to wear. He's like, you got to wear something colorful. You got to pop.
All right, manager boyfriend. That's weird.
I really do forget, because what did we do for Carmen and Jenny? All those years, especially Carmen, because Carmen didn't have Jenny's experience. This was all new to her. So we, Dean and I, had to go through all her clothes every week and like pick everything that first season.
Right. Well, because
so I had that experience.
You guys were, because before MTV, it was basically, it was Prince was the guy who was right. doing
her.
Stuff for War and her. Yeah, I guess that's right.
So it was
yeah.
very organic to having worked with them, it was very easy.
Yeah. And then I got the job.
And remember, Maria had more, she was a broadcast journalist where they weren't.
Right.
Those girls weren't. They had to learn how to do all that stuff.
Yeah. Jenny took to it pretty fast. I thought Carmen did a good job. She was very sweet. She didn't have as much time to develop because they basically just plunked her into the fourth season.
And it was big shoes to fill.
They were big,
yeah.
Because Jenny was just, there was nothing bigger than Jenny at that time.
Yeah, she was on everything. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, like, Entertainment Weekly had a Jenny meter. Remember, like, every week it was like, what is she doing
yeah.
now?
I used to watch it. I remember.
Is
that
a real thing? Really?
Yeah, really.
Jesus
Christ. No, it was a crazy time.
I used to watch it every day after school. I'd go home and like watch Singled Out. I loved
nice.
It.
Nice.
but yeah,
I was on the show too. I don't know if you remember.
I do.
Wasn't really.
Well, who's still standing?
Hey.
Hey. Hey.
Hey. Who's the Brian Dunkelman now, hey. Chris?
Still Brian Dunkelman. I'm
Come
sorry.
On, you guys.
Still the dunk.
Brian's Brian a sweetheart. No. Don't be like that.
Brian Slam Dunkelman.
I don't. Come on, Jonah Ray. but you, I'm curious to find out about the thing that I do know about your past is that you were a pageant lady.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that.
I wouldn't say I had a career in pageants.
But
like,
you did,
I wasn't
you
that
did,
girl. But I did. Yeah.
You were teen Massachusetts.
Yeah, it was the first one I did. I won, and then I did another one.
What is that like? Is that?
It was crazy. It was crazy. I had no idea what I was doing, but I was the only like non-pageant girl in there, and so I didn't use butt glue and all that stuff that everyone else did, and I think they could kind of just see the
Butt glue?
Thank you, Jonah.
Oh, you don't know about butt glue?
Don't know about butt glue.
That's how you keep your bathing suit from shifting and getting a wedgie.
Ah, butt glue.
Oh.
Vaseline on the lips so your lips don't quiver. Uh-huh. And on your teeth. They do all that stuff.
And they do the preparation H under the eyes to keep the...
I actually did that in college for a little while.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I just heard that on that Sandra Bullock movie.
Yeah. I don't really
Speed
remember
two,
it
cruise
doing
control.
Much.
Yeah.
But I did it anyway for a little while.
Is it as creepy as it seems
yes,
like it might be?
It okay, can good. Be. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Okay, so here's the deal. I was sane and normal, and so I actually benefited from it in so many ways, and I learned a lot of things. Like I learned how to, you know, presentation's really important, whether you're putting your like your entrance package together or whatever it is you're doing. Like to me, it helped me. It taught me how to get ready really fast because you have to get ready in like 10 minutes and you have to look like a pageant girl. So it taught you interviewing skills. There was a lot that I learned from them. So for me, it was super beneficial and amazing. Mm-hmm. But if you have a little self-esteem issue or anything like that, or you're a little whacked, you're going to get wackier and you're going to have less self-esteem because, you know, I remember being shocked at some of the stuff that went on. And I actually... Yeah, it can be wacky.
Like what? What happened?
I mean, like, you know, all of a sudden you're at lunch and no one's there anymore and they're all in the bathroom.
Oh no.
Yes.
They have to look good
yes.
even during lunch.
It's really bad.
Well,
it can be really bad.
I felt, you know, this the poor girl, Miss Utah? The Miss USA pageant?
The one
who... You must have seen that.
I've seen everything, I'm sure. We cover
all
this stuff.
Well, she's the one that...
She's the new dummy.
She gave the answer that made absolutely no sense.
That was a couple years ago.
No, this is like 2 weeks. Like
oh,
a week
no
ago.
Way.
There's a new one.
No, I love that.
The poor girl, and I felt so bad for her because as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, she, you know, people were like, she's dumb. I'm like, no, she blanked. Like she obviously was so nervous that she didn't hear the question and did that thing where she just started talking before she knew what she was going to say because she didn't hear the question. And just all these, she went on this very circuitous route around, there was just basically a bunch of words that didn't necessarily belong together, but she still had the, it was still like the confidence and the poise, but the words
and what
were.
What was the question, too? It was something about like education for women, I think.
I don't know. I think it was an education question.
Yeah. And how astute of you to know that that's what happened to her, because most people would just easily just shit on her and say
she
was stupid.
Most people did. I just know what it's like to...
But also in these pageants, what you don't know is how much these women practice their answers. So like, you know, okay, they're going to ask you about hot topics and things like that. And so there's a lot of preparation.
No better place than Hot Topic to get band t-shirts.
No, no, no. These are hot topics in the culture.
Sorry. I love a hot topic.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, I got Batman. An Adventure Time backpack. No.
It's Minecraft
sword. Yeah, so they practice. And then if they stumble and they don't remember their memorized answer, they get screwed up.
Oh, man.
And so that's why I never try to, like, memorize anything or anything like that. You can't do that. Because if you get nervous in front of millions of people, you're screwed.
And do you feel like that after you sort of came, I would imagine that if you had a different way of going about it and you seem more natural and you seem more loose than other people are like, ah, that's how it should be done. None of this rehearsed bullshit.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure you kind of show people a different way. I know, like, even in entertainment news, everyone's trying to do it in a more natural way. Everyone changed. Regular news changed. I mean, Kevin would watch. He goes, Maria, he goes, look at all these newscasters that are doing hard news now that are copying you and letting their hair grow long and wearing, you know, sexier outfits and things like that. So you definitely
like
see
Dan Rather. When Dan Rather was wearing sexier outfits.
Dan Rather, that minx.
Is that a slightly dated reference? Who's now? I could have said Wolf Blitzer.
Yeah, you could have.
Oh, my God.
But you could have said Wolf.
Keith Olbermann.
I could have said Olbermann. Not
nah,
so much
he's not
anymore.
On anymore.
Yeah, he's not on anymore. Mm. When I'm curious about just the idea and our culture's addiction to just gorging on entertainment news and just in weird cultural voyeurism and you know, the sort of, like, I see people in magazines and I'm like, why is this person famous? You know, like, you see just the cover of the grocery store magazines and you go, these people don't really do anything, really. Mm-hmm. What is the addiction to that that you think?
I mean, I think that there's just been a shift in what we're looking at as entertainment now. You know, everything's reality-based, so teen moms are huge stars. It's strange, but there's been a shift. And it started with Paris Hilton, and it's just continued, and we thought it would go away, and it never did. And now it's just completely taken over. Luckily, somehow along the way, TV found its way, and we have great shows like Breaking Bad.
Of course.
And all of these great shows.
There's
that
definitely
have, like,
a TV renaissance.
Scripted
yeah.
shows.
And they've given
written.
Us hope because yeah. for a minute there, scripted television looked like it was going to die a horrible death.
It is interesting.
And it just got better.
It is interesting that.
And it got better than ever.
Yes, exactly.
We have some
you.
Of the best shows. Thanks, Kyle.
Ever.
We have some of the best shows and some of the worst shows simultaneously.
And then you turn on NBC and you're like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah.
And so
but Hannibal's
I think
good.
that's the thing is you've got and I wonder if we're giving them little credit because there's a reason people are obsessed with these shows, right? So it's like you can't discount Honey Boo Boo. There's something about Honey Boo Boo. I'm sorry. People are fascinated. I'm not watching it. But
at least it provides TV and money.
She's capturing people's attention, which is what a star does, whether it's scripted
but
or
it's
not.
But it's an anti-star. It's not because they're, you know, like when you think of a television star or a film star, it's like they bring something of value or positive to the world, and it's just like it's the reality. It's like the Springer, you know, when that was a phenomenon, and it was like Sally Jesse and Springer and Richard Bay and Ricky and all these, and you know, just bringing on the worst people. So I guess so that people could watch that and go, ah, my life sucks, but it's not that bad.
Yeah. Car accidents capture people's
yeah.
attention too.
Yeah, but but that doesn't mean a car accident should be a star.
But also, you're thinking that. They're just doing nothing but being filmed. They're giving lines. This scripted and reality aren't very different. Reality television is, all right, Chris, you're going to walk in. You're going to say hi to Kevin. I want you to talk about this and make sure you say this. And there's different levels of it where people need more. Like, I'm sure with Honey Boo Boo and all of these shows, whether it's Duck Wars or whatever, they're giving them lines and they're delivering them.
I would so watch Duck Wars. Just two different
Duck Wars?
Duck Dynasty.
Two different
ducks battling it out in a pit. I would watch the shit out of Duck Wars.
There would be a Duck Wars if they found another Duck Dynasty and then those two dynasties can have a war.
But that's my point. Like the Kardashians, all of these shows, they're actually having to act. They're having to create scenes and create moments. So you can't take away from what they're doing, actually, I think.
I don't know. I feel like I can. I just feel like it's, you know, we're giving society vapid role models. Like, I don't know. The whole thing just gets under my skin.
No, that's different. I agree with that. I totally agree with that part. I'm just saying, don't take away from what they're, that they are actually doing something to achieve this kind of recognition, whether we like it or not.
True.
But I do not agree with the role model thing. I think it's awful. I think we're setting such a bad example, and we're encouraging people to act poorly and behave badly to get on television and
right.
to become famous. I mean, look at all of these shows on TV where girls are like punching each other out and ripping each other's hair. And I know that sounds hot probably to you guys, but
no.
Do you know what I'm saying? It's sad.
Yeah,
it's a sad state, but there's nothing we can really do other than try not to do it ourselves. Like, there was a show we wanted to produce at one point when Jersey Shore was like at its peak. Kevin and I were like, let's do Mass Holes.
Oh, that was you guys?
That would be amazing.
That was you.
Right?
I was really actually bummed out when
no,
that didn't
it
happen.
It wasn't us. We actually thought about doing it. And I said to myself, I go, Kevin, I'm sorry. Even though it's a great idea, I can't do that.
Spiritually, you couldn't do it.
I could not do it. And I said, I'm sorry. He was so mad at me.
Kevin.
He's like, you have too much integrity.
Kevin.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
He told me I have too much integrity, and he tells me all the time, but I really couldn't do it. I'm like, Kevin, I can't. It's not. I just can't. And so I didn't. Now, trust me, if I had produced this with Kevin, it would not have gone down the way it did before. I would have had the greatest Mass Holes you would have ever seen in your life.
Now, hang on,
it would have
hang
been
on.
Freaking super compelling and amazing.
Mass Hole Wars.
But
no, but there was a show,
Wicked Single
yes. on VH1,
and
which
we really
was awful.
Tried. We
that
watched
was
it, but
I tried
we still
to.
Watched it because it was in Medford.
I tried. I tried so hard.
I loved it.
Well, it wasn't real busted.
Yeah.
It was so.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, guys, let's do it. Let's go back to the drawing board and we'll do it. Mass Holes. We'll do it in Revere.
Oh,
sorry, Revere.
Didn't they do K-Town? Didn't they have one of those type
a
shows in Koreatown? Yeah.
I had read about that. I don't think I ever saw it.
So
many channels now that could exist.
That's all we can do now is not contribute to it.
Yeah.
Not help it along.
It is sort of a weird, you know, I mean, I guess I can almost appreciate it from an anthropological standpoint where it's like, well, we have a sampling of people, a sampling of regional humans,
mm-hmm.
and we're studying them.
Mm-hmm.
but I guess what would be really great is at the end of each season, if there was some sort of a scientific contribution, like, well, we've determined that they're like, I almost feel like the Kardashians on those shows should have a fucking narrator, like a Richard Attenborough-esque narrator, like, and it's feeding time in the Jenner household, you know, like, or whatever. But it, just to at least give it some type of value to, you know, like some type of educational value. There must be something to glean from all of it. I don't know what it is.
But see, and that's the sad part is like when you look at a Honey Boo Boo, the worst part about it is
a Honey Boo Boo in the
pick
wild.
Pick any Honey Boo Boo.
You can't.
It's actually specific to bee stings. That's a Honey Boo Boo.
But you.
Boo.
Hey, listen, fuck you.
Okay. Hey, listen.
When you look at Honey Boo Boo, yes, there are like probably so many of those samplings of families that are connecting and like, oh, that's me. That's my family. Okay, that would be fine. But what we're doing is we're encouraging this young girl and telling her that Go-Go Juice is awesome and so funny, ha ha ha, and that she should gorge herself into like death. Like it's awful. Like she came to the Grove for an interview and I was upstairs with her in the green room and they had brought her pizza, but there were like little slices of basil on there, just like a few. And she's like, ew, I don't want that. There's vegetables on it.
Oh.
And I'm like, it's like three slices of basil. You could just pull it off. Ew. And she was like rushing to the balcony to like greet her fans. And now you know that we've created a loon. Like she's going to be a crazy person when she gets older. It's not, there's no way that girl is going to grow up and be normal.
It's possible that she could crash in her teens and then come out of it and be like, you know what I mean? Like it's, okay, maybe it's not that possible.
No, and it's sad. And that's what's happening with a lot of these people.
There's only one Drew Barrymore.
So
there should be a social worker reality show where they swoop into other reality shows and take train wreck and just basically take kids away from train wreck families. And like, yeah, we'll take it. Yeah. We'll take it from here. And then that's the basis of their show. And then they have a bunch of people from all the other reality shows. Oof. They'll get it. You know, they'll get a Jenner and a Kardashian and a Boo Boo and a duck. I gotta say, I've watched Duck Dynasty a couple times.
It's charming.
It's charming because they don't take it seriously. Like they actually seem like kind of regular nice people. They don't really seem to. It's not when I first thought what that show was like. Oh God, more redneck shaming, really.
They just seemed like they were having a great time.
They seem like they're regular people, yeah.
But like what I cannot stand is on Pawn Stars how they never will mention the fact that they are all multimillionaires now off of the show, and like Chumlee drives a Rolls Royce. Like he's still like looking for a paid day off in the plot line of the show.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
just like
silly.
Fuck you. You have like
well, it is interesting.
Millions
it is interesting in the way that that reality shows basically supplanted soap operas and then scripted shows and now. You know, a show like Duck Dynasty, or it's really sort of taken over the family sitcom, like the scripted family sitcom, which is really sort of what it is.
Yeah.
You know, you have your... And so for reality shows, because whenever I go to my mom's house, and like that's just what's on, that's what we can all agree on, like, mm-hmm. Oh, we'll just watch it. It's actually not a bad one. I'm not offended by it the way that some of the other ones are like, Jesus Christ, they just put a fucking camera on this tire fire.
They can be good. Like, Small Town Security is a good reality show.
Oh, my God.
Show.
We love that.
Yeah,
they're
and
the
it's
same,
just well done.
They're producing ours right now.
Oh, really?
Left, Right, the company. That
yeah,
did,
like,
yeah.
They shoot things really, like, you know, they let things play out. And it's very, I don't know, it's a good reality show. Like, and they, it's almost like they have respect for the people they're making the show about. And so you can kind of feel that when you're watching it. But that's a great company.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be
It's also a great network, right? AMC, everyone.
It's a great network that some of us are on a lot. It's the best.
I was on a dating show once on AMC years ago.
What?
You were?
Yeah, when it was still kind of a movie thing. They had like a, it was called Date Night. And it was, I was like a guy that would have, like, I talked about movies, and then like I like sat with a girl while we were watching some movie, and like, you know, I was like in the interstitials with her, and then like with two other guys, and then by the end of it she picked me.
Did you
all fake? All of it was fake.
Did you cut a hole in the bottom of the popcorn and put your penis through it?
We were watching
Diner,
yeah. So it really, yeah.
Is that how you got it?
Yes, yeah. That's how I got it.
What do you feel like you're? You know, you're on TV daily. What do you feel like? Do you feel like that? We as people on television, like, what type of responsibility do you feel like we have to try to pick up the slack? You know, like, do you feel the weight of that at all?
I mean, sometimes, yeah. I think that, yeah, sometimes I'm like, really? Are we going to do another story about this person who's, like, completely spiraling out of control?
Well,
so,
we all
yeah.
need to know what's happening to Amanda.
Yeah.
It's really fascinating.
Yeah,
oh, my God, but it's
bit.
So much, you know, you look at, like, you know, and they, They Lindsay or Brittany mm-hmm. or any of them, it's like, you know, the print media just goes, hey, and they just like squash their hand at them. They just start poking them. They're like, wow, she's really crazy. Look how crazy she is. She's real. And then they get crazier and crazier as a result of that. And then there's cameras and like.
So what came first?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, there's definitely, I mean, I think it was probably, well, they were probably a little predisposed mm-hmm. to, they had odd upbringings and, you know, but then just having a camera in your face the whole time, and then they create. Then it's like the self-fulfilling prophecy. They create the situation, and then everyone seems so like, how could this have happened? They're like, well, you made it happen, a lot yeah. of it.
You drove real close to him, going real fast. You
yeah,
kinda, you know,
that's, why, that's why they drove into a tree.
Yeah.
Oh, it was the medium in the tunnel.
Oh, is that one of the
Did you guys see Love, Marilyn, the Marilyn Monroe documentary on HBO?
No.
It's good. There's a big section of it that talks about like her reaction to like all the media attention and all the paparazzi and all this stuff, and it's like it's real. She
Wait,
was like,
"What was that on?"
It's on HBO.
How did I miss that?
It's really good. It's called Love, Marilyn, and it's mainly based off of all of her journals.
And it's a doc.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And they have like a bunch of different actresses reading, like the, you know, the diary, like it's like her saying it, and it's really really good, and it's like it's really sad.
What did she say? What was her take on it?
Just to, like how it like it would only ever make things worse. If there was like, if you were having a, like a tough situation, it would only exacerbate things, and it would like it just it was like she was really very aware, and her writing was incredible. She was very like aware of herself and her like and her mental problems and you know and stuff like that. So it was, I highly recommend it. It's very good.
Okay.
Yeah. Did she admit that the Kennedys killed her?
No.
That's the hang on. There's something at the door. And then that was the last.
Yeah.
All right. If this doesn't work, Teddy, you drive her off a Chappaquiddick.
Yeah. That's what I liked about it, though, is like they just, like, and then she died. And they don't go into, like, but how did she die? Yeah. You know, they didn't.
Oh, I would watch that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Speculation.
Ancient astronaut theorists think. Oh, I'm sorry.
What do you? What do you? What are some of the things that you're working on now that you can talk about?
Well,
There might be things that you don't want to talk about yet. Like, you know, like
I'm sure
she'd use her discretion and not talk about them. You didn't have to add the part about not talking about.
Well, I don't want people to feel pressured when they come on. You know, I want people to feel very comfortable. So I want you to feel comfortable to talk about whatever it is that you want.
You're just
to talk
talking
about.
Bad right now.
Stop saying that.
Talking bad.
Stop it. Matthew,
don't talk bad to him.
Got it.
Thank you, Jonah.
For both of you.
Put your hand out.
Yeah.
What?
Oh no, I'm used to seeing that. Give me that.
Bad boy.
Oh, that was delightful and personal. Fuck you, Chris Hardwick.
It was a joke. Shut up, Kyle. You're making it worse. You're way making it worse.
If the Onion AV Club is listening to this, fuck you, Chris Hardwick. Quote of the week, Matt Myra.
Boy.
You're getting good insight.
Nope.
Good insight. Nope.
Buddy.
Nope.
Buddy.
Nope.
It's just comedy joke. Buddy.
Remember when I told you how to make a podcast and what server to use and how to build an RSS feed?
Right. This is one of the rare occasions where Jonah grabs the wheel.
And I hate grabbing the wheel.
He's
so
usually
much.
The one knocking it out of.
Yeah, yeah.
But what are the
okay?
What is some of the?
Well, currently I'm feeling the pressure to mediate, but other than that, we just had our film that I produced and Kevin wrote and directed called Adventures of Serial Buddies. It was released on iTunes, and so that was exciting. A labor of love, of course. We had
what's it about?
It's best described, well, it's the first serial killer buddy film of all time. And I think after working with Kevin, you know he has a really sick and twisted.
Just hearing the plotline, like, that just sounds like a Kevin movie. Like, that totally sounds like a Kevin movie.
Yeah, he's sick. And so it's like, it was best reviewed as Dumb and Dumber meets Dexter. So
that's great.
I love it.
That's the movie. It stars Christopher Lloyd, Chris McDonald.
You could have called it Dex and Dexter. See,
funny.
Not funny. See,
I don't think you could have.
If everyone has the reaction of like, oh,
yeah,
that's informational, and then you know that it's actually a clunker.
Yeah.
Thank God we went with
Adventures of Serial Buddies.
Just know that the audience in my head is still doubled over from laughter at the deft wordplay of Dex and Dexter.
Yes, I'm sure they are.
hang on a sec. I'm still in. Oh, hang on a sec, guys. I got an encore. I'm getting another applause break. It's just like it's just silence.
How did the movie come about? Like, how is it? Like, because you know you work in entertainment news, mm-hmm. and as far as I know. You were just doing stuff like Singled Out, or were you like doing a lot of narrative stuff?
Kevin was writing movies and just like was. Kevin's one of these guys that was like, we got to pitch other stuff. We got to do other stuff. Like, you know, I had no work ethic when I was working on Singled Out. None. I was sort of like, oh, we have this job. I don't really know what else to do. And Kevin's like, you got to pitch stuff. You got to write stuff. So he's constantly like, he was sort of a workhorse in that way, like constantly coming up with ideas and figuring out, you know, and essentially doing what is at that time was sort of like a beneficial thing to do in the industry, but now is essential to you know the way things are now. So
yeah,
we had Adam West on. I mean, like, I know you knock even so modest about what you did on that show, but we had Adam West on before, you know, his kind of
the ironic resurgence of him. Yeah,
we had him on and
WWE.
Yeah, we got we worked with the WWE before their MTV Renaissance as well. Like, anyway, he's modest.
No.
The stuff that Chris did, it was like no one I've ever worked with because you could. I was saying to him off the air, you could when we would be hungover or tired or just zapped out, and we would have lame stuff. We'd be like, yeah, but Chris would make it funny.
Yeah.
And
Chris was still drinking.
He still was.
100% of the time, he improvised.
Kevin did this fun thing. I think did you ever see Singled Out? Did you ever see it?
Yeah.
There was one season that it got, and Kevin was responsible for this, where he basically was trying to turn it into like a Mr. Show type of a show, where it's, he's like, oh, we gotta have like recurring characters, we gotta have these weird characters, and he brought on this guy named Randall Malone, who mm-hmm. was a B movie star, and so he was became this character called B film star Randall Malone.
Yeah,
and
I
then
that.
There was a they had had this guy who was the mascot, who was like the angel with the scruff.
And yeah, the big guy.
The big guy.
Yeah.
And so he was like, oh, we got to bring in his, we had his friend Mark was like, he'll be his kid. And so then they had this weird father son relationship and Randall and all these, and then crazy Larry.
Yeah.
And
remember
then so
Bradley.
Yeah.
Pop recording.
Yes.
Star.
Pop recording star Bradley. And so it was the show really was like YouTube before YouTube for one season. And then MTV was like, you guys aren't doing a sketch show, knock it off. And they made him cut out a lot of the stuff. But the show, by that point, it was so fascinating to watch it go from a game show to this weird cast of bizarre characters. And there was more and more sketch stuff in the show.
That's yeah. great. Yeah.
Kevin tells me the story of Randall in the cheese puff costume. We made him a big, giant cheese puff. And Randall's 6 feet, like four, and a very large man, and he made him into a big cheese puff, and he said the executives walked by and saw him on TV and was like, this is not the face of MTV.
It was so antithetical to the rest of what the show was, which was like frat guys, you know.
Yeah, frat guys, hot girls.
Yeah.
Frat guys,
yeah.
hot girls.
And just like
yeah,
just streaming them through.
I mean, we did a Love Boat reunion show. Oh, with the kids.
Oh my God, that's right.
The kids are going to love
Oh my
it.
God, and your brother dated Jill Whelan.
Jill Whelan.
Who played Vicky.
We got everyone back but Captain Steubing.
Oh, shit.
Remember, we had Doc.
We had Isaac. We had Vicky. We had, oh, my God, that's right. We did a Love Boat reunion show.
Heck, and the kids were like, what's Love Boat?
Yeah. Even at that point.
They had no idea.
Oh, my God.
Like, no, the kids, huge with the kids. Love Boat's yeah. huge.
It's like basically guys rhyming their names with their dicks and then the Love Boat. Like, yeah. It was this craziest.
Madness.
Holy shit, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
There's so many things I probably don't remember. This is now not becoming a podcast about you, Maria. I apologize.
It's okay. No.
But it just
it's always about me.
No.
Be about something else. Trust me.
No. It's just so many things that I haven't thought about for over a decade.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Oh my God, that's been a real long.
You said it so weirdly.
No, we should have a screening party with all the old episodes, a lot of beer,
oh
and a lot of cheese puffs.
All 300 and
a lot of them.
325 episodes.
It's crazy they don't rerun those anywhere, like on the Game Show Network or anything like that.
It's not that crazy, and I hope they don't, because I think...
It's a little crazy.
At the time...
Listen to his speech affectation when you go back and watch it.
It was weird. Yeah, I talked weird.
He had a he had this...
I don't know what it was.
50 Shiggle Guys.
I don't know what it was.
So weird.
I think I was just trying to... I was just trying to play the part of a host who was comfortable in his skin, which I was not. But I think... people at the time said the show was the death of MTV, and then years later, people were like, it was the best show!
Yeah, and they were trying to make it come back.
They're trying to make it come back, but I think if you were to go back and watch it, it's one of those things that was so of its time that it would not. I don't think the show would hold up well. It was so 90s. So 90s.
Yeah, but everyone loves those dating shows. It's fun. I could see it coming back.
But it was edgy at the time. But if you watched it now by today's television standards, the show would be just.
But that's the same with the dating game. You know, they still put that on the Game Show Network, and people watch those old 70s dating game shows.
Maybe I don't know.
That's got enough nostalgia to it now. Whereas we got to wait 10 years before we can start rerunning.
But I still say so. The way Tosh, what drives Tosh 2.0 is not the format of the show. It's Tosh
and anger.
But it's that same anger and bitterness that we had from Chris. But, I mean, seriously, he underrates his role in that. If you take him out of that show, I can totally get two or three more pretty girls that can be funny. But he just had this... He was just such an anti-hero.
Like a
stealth thing. He was the first anti-host. And he doesn't get enough credit for it. And that's what... If you take him out of that show... There's no show.
Listen to him.
Aww.
No, I remember, like, there was a great moment where, like, you, like, was at the end, and they're like, hey, they gave me, like, a few seconds to do my own thing, so I'm going to juggle. And so you started juggling, and you were asking for a fourth, like, orange to juggle, and then they just threw it at your face, and you dropped everything. You're like, screw you guys, and you walked up.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's really funny.
I remember that.
Yeah, that's cool. A really, like, weird, funny
He's
thing.
He's talked about you for years, too, because...
Ooh.
ever since I met him, he was always like, God, he's so talented, and like was always just like trying to think of things. Like, I really want to reconnect with him. I got like, he's had such a good connection with you creatively.
Well, it was fun. We had a fun time back then. It was a bummer. And you sort of came in halfway through the series.
Right.
And then took it over, and then just the natural life of the show, you know, no MTV show at that time went on longer than five seasons. Like, that was pretty much, with the exception of Real World, like, no Daily Show.
27.
Yeah.
Or 23. How many seasons is it now?
What? Obsessed. Real World?
Real World.
90 or 91 was the first. Yeah, it's like 22.
Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, that hurts.
And Portland was boring.
Portland was amazing. What is wrong with you?
Boring.
Oh. What? That crazy bitch? Naya?
Hurricane season. Naya?
Yes.
It could be any season. The crazy bitch? Yeah. The black guy?
The drunk one?
No, because
They teased it for all the whole season, and it didn't happen until the second to last episode.
Kevin and I have watched for years, or obsessed with Real World.
Maria does the reunion shows.
But we called MTV. I was at Nightly News. I was hosting the Today Show. Hello, MTV. I want to host your after show because I'm really tired of these girls who don't watch the show that are hosting the after show. I need Mike answers to my questions. And so I started taking over. They're like, are you sure you want to do this? I'm like, yes. And so I started hosting the after shows, and I've not stopped. It's been years. The last two I haven't been able to do because of scheduling reasons, but I was so excited to do Portland, and I couldn't do it.
I didn't even know they did one in Portland.
They
That's
sure
how
did.
Out of touch I am. I love Portland.
The last two have been kind of lame, and I told them why I thought it was lame, and now Portland, they took it up a notch. I was like, yes, this is what I'm talking about. Not that they're really taking their cues from me, but I did voice my opinion.
Well, maybe they did. You don't know.
You never know.
But you want to be... You want to produce more stuff, right?
Is this? I love producing. Yeah, I think, you know, for me, it's about doing a little bit of everything, and I was like that since I was in high school. I was always involved in everything, and then, you know, when I got into this business, it was you know, I was doing news, I was acting, I was hosting, I was producing.
Were you overachieving popular girl?
No, I was overachieving nerd hated girl.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you sure that that's an accurate representation?
Yeah, it was. I was hiding during lunch because all the girls wanted to beat me up in school because their boyfriends would give me their number and I would say that I wasn't allowed to date. My dad would kill me. And
classic
they didn't believe
nerd.
Me.
Yeah, classic nerd.
No, but I was a nerd. But I was. I was in like advanced classes and people would like call me a nerd and be mean to me. And so it was like a weird thing because I was starting to kind of...
You were the smart hot girl?
Yeah,
so
but
you
like,
weren't a nerd.
Nobody
okay,
wanted
fair
to
enough.
Hang out with me because I was a nerd. I wasn't going to do drugs or like smoke or do anything like that.
Well, it just sounds like you were a square.
Maybe more of a square, but I was in the nerd
group. No late
group.
Night.
Nerd I group. Was in their nerd group.
You were in the nerd group.
Because they're the ones that just would hang out with
you. Would never
the
go to the
that would
late night
me.
Kelly's roast beef runs.
You guys were the left. It's like the leftover group of like, well, I'm not in any other group, so I guess you're my friends.
Yeah,
now.
Like the first floor cafeteria was
gotcha.
And that was the only place I could maybe hide in the beginning. It was very bad. But you know what? I think you're more accurate with your description. More square, nerdy.
I was so fucking square when I was growing up. So square. Mm. I was one of those, like, I don't need to drink or take drugs to have a good
time.
That
sounds really familiar. Is that Chris now? I don't understand.
No, but do you ever notice, like you we're still trying to be, like, okay, I will say for me, like, I still can't be in with the popular clique because I don't do that stuff.
I'm just like, not, I'm
like
not.
You see, like, you won't get invited to certain things because you're not going to do that stuff, and they know it, and they don't want to be judged.
I just get uncomfortable in those situations. Like it. I don't know how to behave. I kind of just get really quiet, and you know, my girlfriend's very much like she'll talk to anybody, and I'm very much like, oh, don't talk to anybody. You know, like let's just over here. I feel uncomfortable when people come up and start talking. You know, in those types of situations, mm-hmm. it just takes me right back to, you know, just right back to junior high. I don't know. I just was never really comfortable in those types of situations. But
I can go both ways.
Yeah,
I'm pretty much more like your girlfriend, where I can like have, you know, fun and get along with anybody. But then there are the times where you'll see me at an event, and I'm just quiet and just I do my thing, and I'm like, when does my time here end? I just want to get out of here. And
what is it that you want to do overall? Like, what do you want to host entirely your own thing that you're producing, or
what
do you
Chris
want
is
to...
saying is you shouldn't be satisfied with what you're doing right now. God damn it!
Always
that
more.
Really is the undertone. That is the subtext of most of what I say.
Yep. I'll put my hand away.
But I mean, like, is there a
what's the end all be all?
Yeah, what's the end all be all for you? Like when you see, you know, when you sort of in your head when you have that. This is the perfect. Is there that thing or?
I don't know because it's changed. You know, I originally, you know, got into this business and was like, okay, I really want to do news because I love the news industry. And at the same time, I really loved making this movie with Kevin and I really want to be able to do that too. And gosh, if I can be in a movie here or there, that'd be really fun too. And okay, the end goal eventually is to have a talk show. But I don't want that anymore because they're not working.
Kris Jenner.
They're just not working, and there's something about it that just doesn't excite me anymore because the format isn't something people are interested anymore in anymore. Like, I love helping people and I love bringing things that are helpful to people to the forefront. So whether, you know, I wrote a book, Kevin helped me, and I told, you know, women everything I've learned along the way in my journey from all the experts I've interviewed and all the celebrities and basically all the tips and tricks that, you know, have helped me along my way. And that was cool. And I got it out in that way. But I'm like, God, turning this book, which was kind of a discussion in some studios at some points, and obviously I have a development deal with my company right now, Telepictures, turning this book into a talk show, yeah, that'd be great. And then I'm like, I don't know. I don't think people want that anymore. It seems boring as hell to try to get people to tune in at 4 o'clock in the afternoon like they got nothing better to do. I don't know.
I think it all boils down to I think you could make it work.
I don't know. Like, I almost would rather just do it in a podcast.
Maybe you could.
Because I feel like people are consuming their media in such different ways now. We started an online TV network called AfterBuzz TV where we do after shows for your favorite shows. And that's now spawned so many different things where now I'm doing a talk show podcast webcast called Conversations with Maria where I will sit down with someone like you and talk to you about your career and your journey and what you did. And that's
I sort of did that already. I just did that. You got me to do that.
What?
I just talked about Singled Out for like 15 minutes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But do you know what I'm saying? Like, and to me, that's interesting is talking to people about their journeys. And I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be. I have no idea what the end all be all is. All I know is I'm going to work my balls off every day and just keep doing what I'm doing. And something's going to happen somewhere. Something's going to click and maybe that will be the end all be all. I don't know what it is.
Well, I would say also never underestimate your point of view as a thing that people would be interested in seeing. You know, like it sounds like you're thinking at you're coming at it from a format standpoint. Like, I don't know if anyone wants, I mean, it's true. Like maybe people aren't as excited about that format, but you know, but if you're authentically excited about something that's interesting to watch, usually, you know, like if you're interested in the people that you're talking to, or you're interested in telling a specific story or helping someone in a specific way, and it doesn't feel engineered and it really is sincere and genuine. And then just, you know, whatever the parts of your personality are that you're not aware of that you can put into the world. I feel like that's a commodity that most people overlook where, you know, it happens in stand up all the time where you go when you first start, you're like, oh, I don't really have anything interesting to talk about. And then you start talking about yourself and you're like, but that's not interesting. That's just my life. And people are like, no, but that's the thing that brings it all together. So, you know, maybe there is a maybe that show just because I'm thinking of afternoon right now. Like what's on there might be there's probably a gaping hole in the afternoon.
I don't know. Like you watch some of these talk shows and they're struggling to find audiences. And there are people in daytime now that are really talented and are really smart and have really good things to bring to the table. And they're bringing good segments in and you're like, no one's interested.
Well,
so,
that was a lot of just people don't like Jeff Probst. It's not on Survivor.
Well, you know what? When I talked to Jeff, he was really passionate about that show and he was really passionate about helping people. And, you know, it's kind of a frustrating, you know, world right now is talk shows. So I don't know what's going to happen. I know that that's something that I really love and I really loved getting to do it through my book. And maybe I'll get to do it through a talk show someday. Who knows? For now, you know, we're doing our film and our VOD release is what, next month in August? Or we're not even in July yet, shoot. But we're dealing with that. We have our own reality show that we're filming right now, which is scary as hell.
What?
Scary.
Why isn't this part of your day? I don't understand why you guys wouldn't bring the camera here.
I know, right?
You guys are on the show?
Yes.
Oh, did they ask?
Yeah, no. They might have.
Yeah, they asked me. I said no.
Oh, thanks, Jonah.
Thanks.
Jonah put his foot down.
Yeah. Nope.
So we're doing that, and then we're writing two more books. One's like a health and fitness book. Another one's a recipe book with my mom. And
yeah.
What else? Are
you going to do any more movies?
Yeah.
Are you wait to see how...
We have one. So years ago, you'll like this. Years ago, Randall calls me because we've been friends for years. Mm-hmm. Randall calls me up and he's like, Maria, you're going to die. He's like,
this guy's like a Liberace meets Divine.
Yeah.
He really is.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
He really is.
Yeah. That sounds amazing.
Wait,
such
you don't
a
even know.
Too.
We watched Behind a Candelabra. We're that's Randall. Oh,
I
my God.
I fucking love that movie so much.
Oh, my God. We're doing another screening of it at our house. Come.
I fucking go see that again. Yeah. I've watched it three times already.
I've only seen it twice.
Oh, my baby boys.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Scott.
Okay. Scott.
But that's, we want to do the screening with Randall and his partner, Mike. Because Randall knew Liberace, but also Randall and his partner Mike are Liberace and Scott. And it was crazy. We were watching it and screaming, pausing. We're like, oh my God, oh my God. People would never know a Liberace in their whole lifetime, and we know one.
Oh my God.
It's crazy. But
it's so good.
Anyway, Randall calls me. He's like, you're never going to believe this, Maria. Darren Julian's having an auction, and there's all this Jack Lord memorabilia. And I'm like, oh, what a great idea. It's now July. Kevin's birthday is in November, and he's obsessed with Jack Lord. And
the original Felix Leiter.
And even in his first movie, when he came, he left MTV to go make his movie, he played like in this like small scene. He played like a Jack Lord-esque kind of character. And so he's obsessed with him, whatever. And I knew that he had wanted to make a movie about the night that Jack Lord and Elvis met. And so he'll tell you the story, but I was like, I gotta get this for his birthday. This is such a good idea. So I, of course, the day that the auction was happening, Kevin's like, we got to take your dad to get new glasses. His glasses broke. I'm like, shit. So we're outside of Pearle Vision. And I'm like, of course, of all days, because I had to hide to do this. I couldn't do it in front of him. So I'm like, oh, you guys go ahead. I got a really important conference call that just came through. I have to take. So I'm sitting in the car. It's summer and I don't have keys. I'm sweating my balls off in there. And I'm bidding against this dude in Germany for the Jack Lord gun. So Elvis, when he went to Jack Lord's apartment that night after his big Aloha from Hawaii concert, he brought Jack Lord, who was his obsession. He loved Jack Lord. He brought two guns. And he's like, one's for me and one's for you. Bad impression, but you know, that
gun
kind
buddies.
Of thing.
They want to be gun buddies.
And he, you know, Elvis had a big gun obsession. So there were solid gold pistols with white pearl handles. And so that was like the big ticket item in this thing. I had already bought on the auction in that sweaty car the suit, the tie, the photo of him, Jack Lord, and Marie and Elvis all together. And
Jack Lord suit from Hawaii
5-0. Yeah, the Hawaii 5-0. So I bought everything. Now it was the gun, and I'm betting back and forth with this guy from Germany. And the numbers are going so high, and I've never spent anything like this in my life. And I'm throwing up in my mouth the entire time. And the guy was like, I think it was like, we were at like, I don't want to say because it's stupid, but it was a really stupid number. And I'm like, he's like, are you going to, you know, bid? And I'm like, no, I'm out. And he's like, going once, going twice. And I'm like, yes, I'm back in. And so I did it. I beat the dude. I got the thing. And then I was calling my assistant saying, I think I'm moving in with you because I'm going to be busted. I'm not going to have any money for the rest of my life. This is the stupidest thing I ever did. So now, mind you, I had to hide all of this stuff for months because his birthday wasn't until November. And the way I had to go get the gun was it was in Orange County. Well, I didn't know. I drove down to Orange County. I had to lie to him about where I was going. And I went down with a friend of mine, and I had to take a gun test on the spot because to take the gun, you have to get a permit. Well, I'm horrible at tests. I was so annoyed. I'm like, I got school done with. I'm like, I don't want to take another test. got the gun, had it hidden in a pair of jeans in my closet for months. Yeah. And then on his birthday, holla freaking Luya, I'd waited forever for this freaking day to come. I hid a little camera on top of the piano in between two frames because I wanted to get his reaction. So he opened up the suit and he was like, oh, a suit. He doesn't wear suits. And I'm like, well, honey, you don't have a suit. I want you to try it on. He puts the suit on. It fits like a glove.
You're the same size as Jack
Lord? Perfect. Perfect. And so then he opens up the tie, puts the tie on. And then he opens up the picture of Jack Lord, Marie, and Elvis. And he figures it out. And he's like, oh, my God. And then I give him the last box, and it was the gun. He had a knip shit. So now...
Started firing at his shot the man.
So now...
Like Elvis would have.
You know, I bought them thinking, okay, someday we're going to make this movie. And so I've been trying to convince him that this is his next project, and now he's finally on board. So now we'll be able to put all of these props to good use. And luckily, I didn't go homeless. And, you know, I realize that that stuff actually holds its value, so I'm safe.
That's oh my incredible. God.
Are you going to...
Like, depending on grateful as I am, I'm like... Wait, the Jack Lord Wi-Fi badge was for sale, and you.
Yes, he was mad at me. I was going to stab him. Yeah, come on.
Yeah. I mean, you already went.
You're wearing the suit, holding the gun, you motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah.
You
yeah.
got to the 1 yard line here.
He was really mad, for real. I could have freaking killed him.
Next birthday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Next Jack Lord memorabilia auction. Yeah.
There's got to be one every week, right? Yeah. Every week there's a Jack Lord.
There's a Mondo Mike, like one of the original writers for Saturday Night Live. He had like a Mondo Mike's video gonzo thing. It was like a sketch video he put out. But one of the best sketches in it was like the disciples of the Jack Lord.
And
it was
Dan Aykroyd.
Yes, it was a Dan Aykroyd was like the main guy. You remember that sketch?
Yes.
That was exactly what I was thinking about.
That's what he patterned his life on. That sketch.
Yeah. All hail the Jack Lord.
Oh, that's a fantastic story. Do you wear the suit just for fun sometimes, or do you
once
not?
Once in a while. I have that, and I have a replica of the 1966 Adam West Batman costume.
Oh.
Awesome.
Wow.
We went as Batman and Batgirl to a friend's Halloween party a couple years ago, and the super, super abbreviated version, I was very, very inebriated. I was going through a really bad time, and I was like, I'm going to go crazy tonight. And it
Barbara.
Got ugly.
Yvonne Craig Backeroff, by the way.
Okay.
Like the legit one. Luckily, because.
It'd be hilarious if you dressed as Alicia Silverstone in your 60s.
Batman.
Yeah, so luckily, Kevin found me somehow almost dead. And there was so much paparazzi outside that he didn't want me to be seen like that. So we stayed in a friend's room at the house. Woke up, he's like, honey, we gotta go. It's 6 a.m. We gotta get out of here. So we go outside and we don't know how to exit because there's this big, huge gate, these gates in Beverly Hills. And our driver, God bless him, stayed all night and waited for us. So we're like, how are we gonna get out of here? Totally wasted. I mean, like, vomit everywhere.
Batarang?
We had to scale. We scaled the gates as Batman and Batgirl vomit in my hair. Climb over the wall and the gates and get over to the car. And I called my friend the next night at 8 p.m. when I could actually open my eyeballs and not feel like I was like spinning. And I'm like, please tell me you have the video of me scaling the wall as Batman and Batgirl. He goes, we do.
Oh, fantastic. Wow.
And it looks just like the old thing when they're just the robot.
But the best part is, so now every year I throw a huge, huge birthday bash on our tennis court at our house, right?
And they're all invited now, right?
You guys are all invited. It's like the massivest bash ever. I know that's not a word, but I always say it anyway. And it's just like, you know, it's an excuse to have a party. Like, if you say it's a birthday, then people kind of feel like they have to go. If it's like it's just a bash sometimes, you know, whatever. So anyway, Kevin, 2 years ago, decided he was going to put the Batman costume in his office window. So when you look at the tennis court, you see Batman, and he put a light on him. So all of a sudden, the next day after the party, everyone's like, Maria, it was amazing. It was so much fun. They're like, what was up with the Batman costume? It was really weird. It was like eerie. We thought he was like going to come down and like get us. And
remember who liked it the most?
Who?
Mel Gibson.
Oh. Yeah.
That Batman's clearly not Jewish. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
We can cut that if you need to.
I'll allow it.
I'll allow it.
So
that's fantastic. Yeah. Let's talk about the tennis court that's on your property. Jesus Christ. Well,
they didn't buy in the hills like you. There's nowhere to put a tennis court
exactly.
up there.
Exactly.
I have a nice yard. It just
goes downhill really
fast. You
gotta
go to the valley for a
just
tennis
like the
court.
Podcast.
Now, if you had spent that money in Calabasas, you would be blaming Justin Bieber for the noise.
I mean,
I know.
That white Ferrari, he should just get rid of it and get a sensible car.
He got a leopard print Audi R8. He got a leopard
no,
print
no, he didn't.
R8. Yeah.
What?
Did he
goes
really?
Faster. Goes faster.
Yeah, yeah he did. Yeah.
Oh my God. That's hilarious. Wait, that's hilarious.
That was a good joke.
Thank you.
That was a good joke. I still think Dex and Dexter should have gotten more credit.
Thanks for listening to the Nerdist Podcast.
No, it's not over. You don't get to say when it's over. I say when it's over. Table flip. Anything else you want to plug or promote or talk about? Or see, now we're all just fucking
I know.
Hanging
we're
out.
Just hanging.
Now
this
we can talk
fun.
About Rob Lowe's performance in Behind the Candelabra.
Oh, my God. Oh, my
the craziest.
God.
Craziest. I like how they
you guys
like,
really should come over Saturday.
I
we're really.
Seen it yet.
Oh, my God. Please come Saturday night.
Yeah. You're performing in Philadelphia
no,
all weekend.
No, balls. It's going to be so amazing. Second.
It's so it. Good.
We'll
it's
do
such
a
good
screening.
Movie.
Okay. It's un-freaking believable, but I'm not kidding. Okay, so Randall. Okay, you know Randall. So, okay, I'm telling you, like, he wears like a black wig and makeup. And so a lot of my friends are like, what is he? Like, they're confused. And so Randall in his day was a gorgeous man. And he married Mike, who's a gorgeous man. And what did he tell me? He goes, I fattened him up because I didn't want anybody to take him from me, Maria.
Oh,
and so like everything in Behind the Candelabra, I swear to you, every sequence other than the plastic surgery, yeah. Randall did.
Oh my God.
No way.
He food hobbled him like
yes!
Andy from Misery?
God, I wish I had that
and
excuse.
Mike was 17. Randall was like double his age. Yeah. And he lured him in with the allure of Hollywood. And you know, his grandmother was friends with all these stars like Liberace and Bob Hope and Lucille Ball and all these people. And so he sucked him in.
And they're still together.
And they're still together.
Aww.
But he's, you know, he's his slave.
Yeah.
Mike is his indentured servant.
So
I mean,
good.
It's like
he's his baby boy.
His baby boy. That's my baby. No one's gonna hurt my Michael.
Oh God.
I'll kill him. Yes. I'm not kidding.
Scott,
he is behind
be
the candelabra.
So,
so if you come, you will get to meet the other Liberace.
Oh,
there's only one. There will never be another one except for Randall.
That's
I have
so
not
amazing.
Seen him in years. I
You're
haven't seen
die.
Him in years.
You're gonna die.
I haven't seen anyone from the old from
Divine,
the, in forever. I don't
except
see
except Brennan.
No,
oh,
Neil Brennan.
Brennan.
Yeah, Neil we Brennan. I saw.
Oh no, I thought you meant Brendan Blinko.
No,
is
no.
Brennan part of Singled Out too?
Yeah, casting.
Casting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see Cronin? Did you see Mark?
I have not. I talked to Mark Cronin, who now runs this company called 51 Minds.
Little teeny company.
A little teeny company. Mark Cronin was our first head writer, and then he left. You replaced Mark, right?
No. He became executive producer.
He became executive producer, and then you elevated.
Yeah,
and then Mark formed this company called 51 Minds, which produced
everything.
All of these, all the reality shows on
Rock of Love,
Rock of Love,
Flavor Flav,
like all the Surreal
I
Life.
I Love New York.
They did
my favorite shows
too.
Ever.
And so,
pretty much.
And so Mark, who's a totally sweet guy, like, you know, just remember, he's like, looking at the internet, you know, the Google page, whatever, and it's like, 51 Minds, you know, sells for $200 million. Like, you know, it's like, it's a guy, I don't know, it's just, it's always funny when it's someone that you're just like pals with, and all of a sudden you're like, that guy just made $100 million. Like, I don't know. It's crazy, but really, really, really sweet guy.
That guy just
very
sold
sweet.
His company to Legendary? What the fuck?
All right. Let's take it down a notch. Let's take it down.
Take it down a notch.
Let's take it down. Let's take it down. What? Anything else? Anything else?
I know.
When's the movie?
I just don't want it to end.
What
it's
a graceful
no.
dismount.
No. It's not graceful.
Anything else?
The movie's on iTunes and VOD.
Yes.
Go to Siri.
You can go to SeroBuddies.com and buy it there, or you can go to iTunes and download it. And then in August, it'll be available on VOD. So we're excited.
Will you do me a favor? Will you please also park the domain Cereal Buddies, as in cereal eating, and then just get Randall and Mike to just feed
eat
each
cereal.
Other cereal just on that URL, just for anyone who
more
doesn't know
more Booberry.
Oh, my God.
That would be amazing. That would be amazing, just for fun. Fun little Easter egg for people. Yeah. This is really fun. The
Thanks.
Hour flew by.
I know. Has it been an hour? Crazy.
Yeah. How long has it been,
Jeez.
Katie? 105.
Oh yeah.
Spike that.
All right. SeroBuddies.com.
SeroBuddies.com.
AfterBuzzTV.com for TV fans.
Are you? Is it Maria Menounos on Twitter?
At Maria Menounos.
At
yeah.
Maria Menounos, yeah.
Yeah. Anything else, honey?
And look for Conversations with Maria Menounos. We had Zoe Saldana as our first guest, and our second guest is Chris Hardwick.
Wow.
Chris,
hey. How'd it go?
Yay.
I hope I did an okay job.
We'll do a more proper job. We'll do it properly.
A really
yes,
proper.
Yes, we'll interview. Do a proper.
Like a little fireplace and the two easy chairs.
Oh, nice.
We'll have a box of Kleenex for you.
And I'll replace
Vaseline
some videos
on the lens to kind of give it a dreamy look.
I'm hesitant to say that I changed the face of hosting Maria, but I do remember at the time it was.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode of the Nerdist Podcast is brought to you by Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com, click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Nerdist for a $110 bonus offer, including a digital scale and $55 of free postage. That's Stamps.com. Enter the promo code Nerdist.
Gen Z high school girls have gone through a lot. So what could and did send a shockwave through a group of 50 of them competing in one of the nation's biggest scholarship competitions? I'm your host, Shimo Liai, and I'm going to take you behind the scenes of the Distinguished Young Women competition. I was Nevada's competitor 20 years ago, but this time, a Supreme Court decision catapults all 50 girls into the center of a nationwide debate about their rights. These girls, who have spent months fighting to make it to nationals, are faced with a tough decision. Do they speak up for their political beliefs, or do they stay focused on winning the money?
I think it's going to get ugly.
Follow the competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of the competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.